Time for hour number two of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Now, that's one kind of instrument you just heard on the intro here. But get a load of this. You're gonna hear something you probably never heard before that's related. Okay, this feature fade down the Fee Jetsons and fade up the... That is called a lautar.
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 Lautar. Lautar.
Now, Jim Mattis is in the studio. Here's with Bruce and Galen Brandt. Jim is one of the few players of this unique instrument in the world, and we're going to be bringing him in again later when we get the...
Let's see if it's working. Meanwhile...
So, Bruce, you were on a trip called Summit at the Sea. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, it was a Norwegian cruise liner that can hold 6,000 people. And it was a summit of CEOs and billionaires and political activists and all kinds of people meeting or going to talks. And it was a schmooze cruise of the first order leaving from Miami.
Wow.
And headed out to unknown
destinations. How many people were on this boat?
There were 3,000 paying guests. There were about 800 artists, like DJs and visual artists and presenters like myself, and then the VIP section of VIP persons.
Hmm. Were you one of the speakers on the boat yourself?
Yes, I was one of the speakers, and I did a performance up on the stern deck with a live DJ. And in the actual very spot a couple of days earlier that we had Edward Snowden beaming in from Moscow on a big screen.
Can he say things on the big screen that he couldn't say in borders of the U.S.?
He says what he wants to say. He's just an amazing individual. Yeah. I mean, just amazing how clear he is, you know, how level-headed he is, you know.
So you caught his talk then?
Caught his talk, yeah. And then we had Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart?
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart and Edward Snowden. What a combo.
What a combo. And we had Eric Schmidt. And we had
CEO of Google?
Former adult supervisor at Google.
The ones that kept the kids playing properly.
One of the kids playing properly. And he was interviewing Travis, the founder of Uber.
Uber, right. The whole Uber. Yeah, you caught some of their talk, too, I assume. Did they talk about the future of Uber?
Yeah, in the last hour of the Dr. Future Show, you were talking about self-driving autonomous vehicles. Well, the question came up, which was, he was talking the story of Uber. The question came up was, what happens when Uber cars become self-driving? You know, and there's no Uber, like then the people who belong to Uber
so much
don't,
for all the jobs, huh?
Yeah, and the sort of the general thought was, well, this isn't immediate future at all, but so some one Uberite with 500 self-driving cars could become a big corporation, like a taxi company, which is the monopoly they were trying to break. You know,
so naturally we would start to think of the same old paradigm providing the new technology.
Yeah, same old paradigm comes back in.
Oh, man.
One of the fellows I hung out with was one of the major backers behind Bitcoin. Hmm. You know, and Bitcoin is this new protocol for currency.
Yeah, cryptocurrency,
Cryptocurrency decided to break the monopoly of banks, And we talked about his technology as well, and it turns out that he said, yep, it'll kind of shake things up and break the monopoly for a while, but then banks will learn how to co-opt it, and there will still be banks of Bitcoin in the future. So,
because bankers will be bankers.
Bankers will be bankers.
And they'll want to deal with whatever the currency is of the time.
Yeah, and power centralizes itself. mm-hmm. eventually corrupting, and then somebody has to invent, you know, something else.
Well, of course, we do have this wild card now with the CRISPR-Cas9 technologies of modifying the human genome itself.
Right.
So as we identify behaviors, we'll be able to edit them.
Can we edit out the Bankster gene?
Well, you know, that's perhaps where virtual world might come in handy, because we could try that and run the sim and see if it works.
Yeah.
You know, can you really do without a certain kind of person in the mix?
We probably could, or at least sort of give them new jobs.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. For some reason, in its wisdom, the human genome has all the different diversity of personalities that it does, perhaps for
that we
could use for a higher reason.
Yeah, I think we should balance out a little bit more and have the Banksters become kindergarten teachers instead, you know, something like that. Also, there's a lot more tech. We were milling around a beautiful 3D printing show last week.
That's right. Yeah, that was an event at the Santa Clara Convention Center where we saw a lot of new technology that hasn't really been implemented yet in consumer technology.
Yeah, it was ID Tech X show.
Right.
And it was amazing, like 3D printed circuitry. And what was the most amazing thing you saw there,
well, you
Dr.
know,
Future?
I'll be happy to share that, but we're going to have to go to a break. We're a commercial radio station here. As soon as we do that, we'll come back and I'll tell you.
All right. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Yes, we were just talking about the ID Tech X conference last weekend. Bruce asked me one of the things that I found most interesting, and I mentioned it. Are we also good for the Luitar yet,
Mrs.
Usher?
I do believe we are.
Oh, well, let's do that. Before I get into the tech, let's get a few more moments. There we go. Maybe we could even have it in the background when we talk. Bring up Bruce, Mrs. Future. Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, this is Jim Matus, a longtime friend and musical partner of Galen Brandt, my partner, and he came all the way out from far Massachusetts and has been here for about 4 or 5 days doing house concerts, and we were just over at a guitar maker's studio here in Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. He's playing a guitar that he bought from the guitar maker Rick Turner. Oh, 20 years ago.
And he's one of the local guitar makers.
Yeah, one of the greatest guitar makers in the world here in Santa Cruz.
Wow.
And so Jim Matus is playing the Luitar, a unique instrument made by Rick Turner that exists nowhere else.
Hmm.
So yeah,
it sounds very cross-cultural, shall
we say. So let's let the audience hear some of the Luitar from Jim.
I gotta ask you, how come this sounds like it's almost Indian?
It's partly because of the scale that I'm using. It's an Indian mode.
Oh, it is.
The other aspect is just the sound of the pick that I'm using. It's an oud pick, and the strings are light gauge in octaves. It's similar to a lot of Indian instruments.
So the Luitar, is there a origin story that you could say in a minute or so?
The short story is that it's actually a combination of a mandocello, which is a bass mandolin, and a Greek lute called a lauto. That's why I call it a Luitar, because it's similar to a guitar and a Luitar, and it's tuned like the Greek lute, and it's played like a guitar. I'm a guitar player who discovered this about 10 years ago, and it's a work in progress.
Wow.
And as Bruce was saying, the local luthier, Rick Turner, kind of invented it, and I took it a few steps further.
Oh, so a collaboration, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so this is the only one of its kind like this?
It is. I found that out definitively yesterday, that this is the only one. There are four others that are similar to it, But that's it. Just four on
four
the planet.
Four people on the planet.
On the planet.
Like this particular...
Yeah. This is the only one that's actually tuned like this with the strings arranged like I have it. So
awesome. Good.
I can proudly say it's totally unique.
Totally.
Yeah, it's a great sound. I really love it.
Well, thanks. We'll look forward to hearing a little bit more at the next break here.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks,
so, Bruce, you were asking me about my favorite thing at the ID Tech X. It's one of the things I mentioned last week on the show. It's these 3D printed electrodes. Really, they print on a printer, and you place like drop of bodily fluid on them, and they analyze the fluid and give you hundreds of tests just from, you know, a little bit of electricity going through these diagnostic printed test strips. That really got my attention. One's called the iontophoretic patch electrode.
Yeah, it's amazing that circuits can be printed anywhere and run anywhere. And then they have a near-field technology, too, where you hold your phone up and it lights something up because there's a printed circuit in a
Oh, right. That's the first thing
product,
we saw. That
product
that
packaging.
That was
yeah.
amazing. Yeah, this is where paper starts to be luminescent as what it does. You know, it glows, it does things, parts of it light up. It can be control buttons even, you know, things become interactive.
Yeah, so a product, you pick up a product at yeah. your local grocery store and it has an interface on it, on the box to
Amazing.
Do stuff.
Yeah, it's not just a pretty picture anymore.
Yeah, yeah, it's got a skin, a real living skin.
That does things.
Yeah, and what I was impressed by, that one guy who had the prototype, you know, everyone's seen the iWatch and people have iWatches, but it just yes. looks like a regular watch. You know,
yeah, it's kind of copying the old.
Yeah,
the
it's
old
like
system.
A watch. Mm-hmm. But this watch we saw, this prototype we saw was like a clear band around your whole wrist.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like the movie Disclosure had something like this in it. It was a clear band around your whole wrist and the whole thing was a screen and it was flowing. It was like a plastic band, but the whole thing was a screen.
Mm, but the surface was not wasted.
I compared yeah. it to a Xena yeah. bracelet. It looked, it really looked Xena's like, you bracelet. Know, one of those power cuffs that would catch yeah. bullets.
Yeah, you know? Mrs. Future, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, but the whole cuff was the screen, and it was a wraparound screen. And that was what was so interesting about this show, is that flexible electronic materials were being used to create all kinds of new things, from pillar-shaped solar panels to wearable clothing to bracelets with monitors that wrapped around your wrist.
The 3D printed cars.
Right, 3D printed
and
cars.
And screens and electronics that could get wet. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that was very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe people try and avoid wet situations with their iPhones. Maybe you don't realize
you
that
know,
your touch electronics
look,
don't work when they get wet.
Yeah, let me tell you this. Yeah. I mean, one of my pet peeves is going to the bathroom and not drying my hands enough so that the phone doesn't work properly.
Oh, right. You can have wet fingers to
yeah.
do the phone. Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real pet peeve. It's suddenly, you know, it's like instead of the thumbprint working, I have to frickin' put in my code, you know, in order to get
and
in.
You know, another
and
thing they put
I hate it, that.
And the other thing that people yeah. hate
yeah.
is that they get dressed in the morning and they jump in the shower and they forget they're wearing their iWatch.
And it supposedly it can
and
handle
it hoses
shower.
It. Yeah, but Wettronics. Wet
yeah, wettronics become normal.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of funny when you stop thinking about it, is that we're, as a biological organisms, that we would create this technology that is adverse to wetness.
What we're made out of, yeah, which is 80% water.
Now, you know, why is that? Oh, you know, very curious question. Hey, we have a caller, Mrs. Future?
Yes, we do. Ron Howard. Let's say hello to Ron Howard. Hi, Ron. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Yeah, welcome, Ron.
It's not Ron. It's Glenn.
Glenn Howard. Okay.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Glenn.
Oh, yes. Ron Howard.
Thought,
Ron Howard, the movie director?
Ron Howard Opie and Ron Howard, the star of the music band singing Gary, Indiana.
Yes.
Hi, Glenn.
I was calling because you guys are mountain folk, and so many people don't know about this, but you know about Don Quixote's on Friday.
Oh, I'm going to that. I signed up for two tickets.
You
Do
did?
Tell.
Okay, good.
Oh,
there's actually been people who don't know.
Tell the world.
This ties in. This ties in with this is the whole Santa Cruz history of the counterculture here, where 50 years ago, wasn't it? Was the first electric Kool-Aid?
November 27th.
Years ago.
The electric Kool-Aid acid test here in Santa Cruz, right? And so there's a thing at Santa
SoCal,
Cruz.
Actually.
And SoCal, Really?
In the events, Ralph Abraham sent the note out, which I sent to you guys.
Yes, I think Thursday night at the bookshop Santa Cruz.
Yep. There's readings, poetry readings, right, Glenn?
By Lee Kornstrom, who was a clerk at the Hip Pocket Bookstore, which was the epicenter of the budding hip culture.
The Hip Pocket
what
Bookstore.
What was then a retirement town that had just a year before gotten the University of California campus.
And it was starting to come alive, yeah.
Yeah.
We lost Peter Demma recently, the founder of Hip Pocket.
Oh, I know, I know.
And then you sing Don Quixote's on Friday night, right? There's a whole Grateful Dead sort of cover band, and Mountain Girl's going to be there. And
two people that I know, including Mountain Girl, told me they're great.
Oh, great.
So that's a bonus.
Well, I know
those. But still, the presence of Babs and Mountain Girl and the Pranksters and all
these
Babs, characters.
Ken Babs is coming. Amazing.
Yes, and Anonymous, and
Michael Samet.
George Walker. Yeah. I don't know. I found out about from Mountain Girl. So
Don Quixote's Friday night. That's First Fridays, too, right? That's First Fridays in Santa Cruz.
Oh,
so we'll see you at the event for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up, Glenn.
This is the event of the season. There would not be a tech industry as we know it without the contributions of Stanford University and these guys.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. Very true. It's been part of the Bay Area, the magic mix that made the Bay Area what it is.
All right.
It made Silicon Valley.
A
deep story.
Random access memory, you know. Random access. Well, there you go.
Cool.
So, thanks. We got to go to the news now. Appreciate.
Well, that was some news.
Yeah, thanks. That's great. We got it out there.
I'll see you there.
Awesome.
Great. See you there, Glenn. See you.
All right. Bye. Don Quixote's this Friday. Thanks, Glenn Howard. Appreciate it. And we're about to go to our CBS News break here on the Dr. Future Show. Thank you, Jim Mathis, for such a beautiful outro. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. With a real Christmas tree from the Santa Cruz Host Lions lot near Costco.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. You're listening to the music of Jim Mattis, visiting from the East. We'll be closing today's show with a nice little musical ensemble I think you'll appreciate. Meanwhile, we have a couple more things we'd like to discuss. Then we have Bruce in the studio. This is Dr. Bruce Damer, who will actually be speaking tomorrow night. At the Tech Meetup, is what
it's called?
It's
called Santa Cruz New Tech Meetup. Mm. And it's the biggest tech entrepreneur meetup. And it happens every month in Santa Cruz. And it's packed with entrepreneurs of all sorts and shapes. And this is their annual big event at the Del Mar Theater downtown Santa Cruz.
Is this where speakers as well as music and entertainment and
They have a whole there are three of us speaking, so there's three sort of keynote speakers speaking for about 15 minutes each, and then there's a whole panel of futurists, which you guys should tie into, get them all on the show talking about predictions for 2016 for Santa Cruz tech and all tech.
And specifically for our own little backyard here.
Yeah, because Santa Cruz, the entrepreneurial tech scene, has come alive. When we lived here in the early 90s, there weren't that many companies. But now with Nextspace and all those places, there's a lot of Santa Cruz tech entrepreneurship here. And so this is celebrating that tomorrow night.
Yeah, I remember there's Borland, Seagate, you know.
It's kind of old line companies like Plantronics and whatnot. But no, this is young people
doing
apps.
But now these are startups,
apps,
right?
Startups and in drone technology and in automobile technology. And
that's right. Joe Ben-Bever, who we will be having on the show, will be remaking that connection.
Yeah, maybe
this event.
Tell us a bit about Joe Ben.
Well, I had originally heard of him as an entrepreneur because of the Joby tripods. You ever seen those? Those are little articulated tripods.
They kind of look like something straight out of the movie Alien, but to hold your camera up.
Right. They're like little antennacle pods.
Right.
But they were a pretty successful little product for him. I believe Joby went on to be a $20 million a year company selling these camera accessories. Mm-hmm. I know that he was a native of Last Chance.
Yeah, I think he grew up right up on Bonnie Doon, way, way out.
Yeah, so, an old community out there that...
The Last Chance community where the county never goes, you know.
Right.
And also, after he sold Joby, I think he started a kite energy company.
Yeah, Joby Energy.
Joby Energy.
Right. Now it's Joby Aviation. But it got him into generating power from microturbines on kites.
On kites.
Flying in around 1,000, 2,000 feet up.
Apparently. Yeah, where the wind just never stops.
Right. It's just nonstop wind, so why not tap it? You know, let's get up there and get that wind.
And it always comes down. It's sort of like Ben Franklin, but not waiting for lightning strikes.
Yes. Yes, I remember his kites were computer controlled so that they would do figure eights in different forms and stay in the air currents and just constantly generate power. Power on the microturbines, which would go down the kite string like Ben Franklin.
Wow.
Said.
Wow. And I think there's a potential issue. It would be an FAA regulated.
There's that. There's these miles long cords, you know, that do move around. They definitely create some issues. But what's interesting is that after he explored that idea for a while, he got into aviation itself. I guess the kites got him into thinking about the drone tech. And at the Drone Festival earlier this year, he had a booth where he was displaying some models of drones that could actually carry people.
Wow. Not just really tiny midget-like people, but...
No, huge,
huge drones, people like Dr. Future.
Huge people like me, yes. These are now becoming possible. I thought it might take a little bit longer, you know, given the sad state of battery technology today to carry humans, that seemed to be a little bit farther in the future.
For more than just a minute or something.
Right, right. Yeah, because you want at least half an hour range, or 15 minutes is what I get in my drone, so I should at least get that.
Well, he was basically at the level where he's got the spec. I wouldn't say he's got the technology yet, but he's aiming for a vehicle that can carry humans a few hundred miles an hour, vertical takeoff and landing, and he's designed a really amazing prop system to bring it about.
And this takes off from your friend Mahler, Robert Mahler, right?
Paul Mahler. Yeah, an old UC Davis professor who had came up with the idea of a circular VTOL aircraft back in the 60s and has been steadfastly working on it ever since.
The ducted fans, the four ducted fans.
Yes, the ducted fans, which really look a lot like today's drones.
So maybe, just maybe, you know, we're in the back to the future year, right? With the doc and the flying DeLorean.
That's just last month we were celebrating that.
That's Back to the Future Day, and maybe we're finally almost sort of at a peak at it.
Yeah, well, we've actually seen a hoverboard made of drone parts, right? We saw that Canadian guy who took a drone flight across a river. And of course, looking just like a hoverboard.
And just on that cruise ship a couple weeks ago, there were people riding around on these little wheeled things that said hoverboard on them.
And those monowheel things?
Yeah, those monowheel. They're kind of like
mini Segways.
They're mini Segways, and they were everywhere. They were in airports. There were people on these things in airports zooming past. I expect that none of the authorities have any kind of bylaws about them, but they're buying them.
Well, actually, there are some laws that Greg Panos has been very instrumental in helping to formulate, since he was an early advocate of Segways as device to assist elderly or handicapped or people who are somewhat disabled. Mm-hmm. So he actually has helped clarify what the legal standing is for people with Segways, and of course that would
cover the hoverboards too. Yeah,
devices. Yeah.
Yeah. So Gregory, any thoughts on the hoverboard issue?
Gregory's online?
I believe so. And you know, the thing is that they're getting smaller and more portable. They're small enough that you could probably put them in your luggage.
Yeah, in fact, there was a guy on the flight from this cruise ship thing, and he just had it over his shoulder, and he shoved it in his backpack and put it up in the overhead.
Wow.
And he had ridden it all over the place. It was amazing.
Huh. So they must be balanced enough so that you can do that.
Yeah, he was a big guy. He was like Dr. Future.
That's great.
But he was moving so much faster than the people walking through the airport. I mean, wonder if you ever had a collision with somebody who would knock them all down like bowling pins.
Well, it's amazing. You know, when we've done Segway trips, which I imagine this is comparable, you are going at a speed that's very similar to walking, and you have just as much control over it. So you can go faster, but not a lot faster. And you can also stop and stand, and you can adjust yourself to the crowd.
So rolling back toward tomorrow's event, so we have Joby Mm-hmm. JoBan on the docket. We have the Draco Motors guy.
The Draco Motors. What do you know about that?
What it is, from what I read from their site, it's an Indian-sounding name guy, entrepreneur, who's developed this incredible full-power traction control system for vehicles, for four-way steering, for super high performance, right here in Santa Cruz, that really has incredible sensors and whatnot. In a sense, tomorrow night's talk, and maybe in the following order, I'm not sure when I'm coming up, I'm the third speaker.
Ground, air, and space.
Ground, air, and space. So this fellow from Draco is all about maximizing control and safety and speed on the ground for vehicles.
Autonomous vehicles? Or
I would assume anything, really. Yeah. But it's a really beautiful system. And then we have Joby, or JoBan, who would bring his vision for a two-person drone, maybe show his model there. And then the final speaker, or I may be the first or the last, I'm not sure yet.
Might start in space and land on
Might
Earth.
Might start and land on Earth.
I see.
And I'm going to be talking about the Shepard spacecraft design that myself, Peter Janiskins at the SETI Institute, and Julian Knott, a balloon designer, came up with a year and a half ago, and we did the TEDx talk. I did the TEDx talk at the Rio Theater in April here.
Yes, I remember that. You opened and closed the TEDx conference.
I opened and closed. So there was a fellow from New Tech Meetup at that talk, and he asked me to come and do it for their annual event, which is tomorrow on December 2nd. So I'm doing a souped-up version of that talk, and people will see how a new kind of spacecraft can potentially open the entire solar system for settlement, for sustainable settlement spaceflight.
Cool. Well,
this is the asteroid capture?
Asteroid capture. It's a universal invention to envelop an asteroid in a fabric structure and introduce an atmosphere around it to control it, to move it, and to then extract resources all without touching it.
Right, because they could crumble. They can be very delicate little creatures.
They're friable. Yeah. They're dangerous. Yeah. They're just rubble piles. So you can't...
Rubble piles.
Unlike Bruce Willis, you're not going to sit there and drill into it and use a jackhammer.
Really, they're not made out of pure platinum or anything exciting.
They're not. Yeah. You have to handle them very gently.
Mm-hmm. So you basically surround them and stop them from moving and then move them in a bag.
Yeah, and you create an internal wind from your external solar panels. More printed electronics, and you can then shift them to the orbit of Mars or Earth and then pull off the resources like the water and even nickel for plating 3D parts in space, but big parts.
You'd have the resources for creating communities in space.
Yep, creating spacecraft, feeding people with biospheres. It's a universal invention, kind of like the steam engine was for the 19th century. For opening frontiers.
Interesting. Listen, we got to go to a break. We're talking to Dr. Bruce Damer. We'll be right back. Jim Mattis on the Solo Lautar. All right, that worked well. We finally have it in the board, folks. You heard the Latin.
We did it.
Now, if I can only pronounce it right. Lautar?
Lautar.
Lautar. Lautar.
It's called live radio.
Bring out the Lautar. Okay. We were just speaking to Bruce about the New Tech Meetup tomorrow night at the Del Mar Theater. This is probably the biggest one, I believe.
Right? It's the biggest one ever and of the year. I have the details here. It's at Del Mar Theater, 1124 Pacific Avenue. There are 11 spots left.
11?
11 spots left. 275 people signed up. Doug Erickson is hosting, and it's at 6 o'clock.
It's at $15 or something like that?
Something like that.
It includes entertainment and...
Yeah, and there's this panel of futurists.
And panelists, and including you.
Incredible people that will be there.
And a schmooze fest upstairs later, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. This is a good place to meet your creative techie community.
Yeah, that's really blossomed in Santa Cruz in the last 10 years.
Now, you're saying a lot of startups here in Santa Cruz from what you've observed over the years.
Yeah, and in a sense, because of the mobility, all these app companies, it doesn't really matter where you are. You don't need to be sitting next to Intel or Apple. You can build your app and build your small device or whatever, wherever you are. So Santa Cruz is a good lifestyle place, and people who are interested in good lifestyle come here and they want to make products like that.
Exactly. Certainly much more interesting to live in a beautiful environment than being stuck in some Silicon Valley suburb. It just doesn't, it's just not the same lifestyle.
In a 70s reality.
Yeah. I think we started with the garage technologies, but now it's moved into a pleasant surrounding environment, living rooms and hot tubs.
Yeah. The Tubcast.
That's right. I wanted to bring that into mind. One of our experiments with media outside of normal radio, like you're listening to now, is what we're calling Tubcasts. What would you say the basic inspiration for this was,
Well,
Bruce?
You and I were sitting in a hot tub in 1994 or 95 in the previous Future Peak called Rainbow Ridge. And we said, wouldn't it be nice if through the ether we could share this spirited conversation, which was coherent to us at the time, with others that are either listening in cyberspace or in other hot tubs.
Tub to tub. Right. A tub to tub network.
And so we did it. We did the first one 3 weeks ago. And you just had your recorder there, as you often do. And
yes,
we just decided at the edge of the tub that we could do it. And
balanced precariously on the edge was the recorder.
And the drone on the other side. And then our friend Peter, our mythic friend Peter, showed up and he took photographs and video. And we had our first Tubcast, which you can hear in the Levity Zone podcast, levityzone.org. Or find it on iTunes or, SoundCloud everywhere, Levity Zone. It's podcast number 43, freshly minted.
Your 43rd?
43rd Levity Zone, yeah.
Okay. And the Levity Zone itself has been, was it a couple years now at least?
Yeah, since 2012, all the way back in vintage days, yeah.
And you're taking this as an opportunity to really introduce people to some of your earlier works too.
Yeah, right. My life in Prague after the Berlin Wall fell, and avatars and virtual worlds and computer history. And
that's in the 90s.
The 90s, and visionary thoughts and weird new thematic storytelling, which I hope people will like, of a certain style.
Yeah.
And there's independent music in each episode. And Jim is the intro and outro music for the first Tubcast.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you getting that in there.
You're welcome.
And since you're here, can you just tell the audience a little bit more about you as a musician? Now, you and Galen, Bruce's wife, were partners back in the 80s, is that right, in making music?
Yeah, we had a band in New York City back in 1983, 84 called Your Real Parents.
Your Real Parents.
Your Real Parents. Huh? How do you spell your real?
Your Real Parents. And that was ill-fated. It fell apart like all projects do eventually.
What was the funnest part about it?
We played a great gig. We had our quintessential gig at CBGB's.
CBGB's. For the uninitiated, what was that?
It was considered a punk club back then, but we were sort of a progressive rock in the vein of like a Peter Gabriel, Kate Bush type thing. But somehow we got a gig at CBGB's. Since the 80s, we've been doing lots of projects together, a lot of world music projects. Galen is into Bulgarian music and a lot of different mixtures of world styles.
Excellent. Well, we're hoping that you and Galen will send us off with a nice Christmas cheer at the end here, as I like to say. So,
okay.
Bruce and I are complete on the...
Are we finished nerding out?
Are we finished nerding out? Well, let's see. Bruce, we did talk about the...
Have we reached Nirvana?
Those are interested in the Levity Zone. It's the URL again.
Levity Zone. That's levityzone.org. Levityzone.org. Or just Google it.
And the latest one will have you and me and Jim featured, as well as Peter and some others you've heard on the show, a likely cast of characters to bring you to this new...
new medium of tubcasting.
That's it.
Right, the 43rd Levity Zone, but the very first tubcast. Right.
That's it.
Also, and you might have a comment on this, that the Apollo 16 booster crash reportedly was located on the moon.
They dropped the third stage they dropped it onto the moon. They found it?
Yes, it was a mystery that's been solved 43 years after the Apollo 16 mission. So that's interesting. And that, you would think that something that has been identified like that would finally put to rest all those conspiracy theories about us never going to the moon.
Yeah,
wouldn't you think?
I think that those never were anything in the first place.
They're just people who wanted to believe.
People who made stuff up to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure.
As is usual.
Takes all kinds.
Okay,
all
well.
Right, folks, so that is going to be the future news of this week, right?
Yes.
On Future Tuesday, as we now go into a musical interlude.
Thank you, Bruce, so much for being on the show today. Appreciate it. And Galen, thanks for coming in here and sharing some music with us.
I'm delighted. Always right. Happy to be in the studio with Dr. and Mrs. Future, too.
So I got to ask you just before we go into music, what's it like for you to be with your old partner for a week?
Joyful. All Memory right. Lane. Maybe wonderful.
We've been doing music together and stuff?
Absolutely. We did a house concert, and we just went to see the wonderful luthier, as we've mentioned, who made Jim's instrument, and we've been working on some new material this week and planning a future album and having a wonderful time.
Awesome. All right. So this brings us to pretty much the end of our verbal part of the show. We're going to send you off with some music with Galen and Jim.
Original composition of Jim's. Allahu, which means Allah, the universe, joy, life, love is here, here, here.
Allahu, 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 Allahu. Yezami jabinaki ke jaha jabinata. Yezami jabinaki ke jaha jabinata. Yezami jabinaki ke jaha jabinata. Allahu, Allahu, Allahu.
Listening to the Dr. Future Show
on KSEO Santa Cruz.